Good evening, everyone. We're on the air, and tonight, Tuesday night, edition of the program, Uncensored Radio Free America, addresses a subject with which many of you, but not all, are familiar, because we have so many new listeners and new callers every day, it seems, and that's good. And what we're going to be doing tonight is talking about the proposed so-called hate bill in Congress. And my guest, of course, is Reverend Ted Pike, who has been here many times before. And he, of course, represents his website that he has, the truthtellers.org. And he, of course, has a number of books, a number of videos that he also has on his website on this and many other subjects of interest in these days. So good evening to you, Ted Pike.
Good evening, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming back on. And you've been making the rounds of talk radio lately, haven't you?
Yes. thank Almighty God for far-right alternative talk radio in times of national emergency. What I've found in years past is that so many talk show hosts, especially on Republic and also Genesis, put me on when the big federal hate bill is being proposed to Congress, and we're able to drum up a tremendous opposition calling into Congress, and we've been able actually to defeat it three times in the last 2 years. And here I am again kind of doing the Paul Revere thing and saying the hate laws are coming.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that we are far right radio, because I prefer to be far right than far wrong.
Yes.
And that's exactly what, unfortunately, the ADL has become, and has actually, since its inception, really been instrumental in doing a great deal of wrong in the name of righting wrongs. They have become wrong, and this has been one of their hot potatoes, really, since day one. For those, of course, who don't know, after the first break, we'll really spend a little time tonight, I think, getting back, if you will, to the genesis of this modern movement to impose hate legislation on the entire nation. Really, I can recall a time, for the sake of our newer listeners, when this was really not even proposed until the groundwork was laid in state legislatures across America with various movements to gather statistics on hate crimes and to impose bans on militia training and so forth. And many people didn't realize all of this came from the ADL-type group. So when we start the program, I'd like you to give us a thumbnail sketch of all of this, because it didn't just start yesterday.
No.
And it had to have a genesis, if I may use that term.
Yeah.
It had to have a beginning, and it really is a process, again, if I may use the word, of evolution. It's evolved into this major step forward on the part of the ADL hate speech police on a federal level, where for years we have been conditioned state by state to accept certain platforms of the ADL. So you stay with us, Ted Pike. I'll be right back. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, with our guest, Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. And we will entertain calls a little bit later on, but we'll be right back with him. Stay tuned.
Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes, and we begin the program tonight with Ted Pike. And Ted, why don't you just go over a little bit of what I was just alluding to, the movement in the, I guess it was really the 1970s and maybe the 80s, in a state-by-state basis, where certain pieces of legislation were propping up that had to do with things like gathering statistics on hate crimes, crimes against minorities, homosexuals, and then take it from there.
Yes, well, I actually began to be aware of the threat of so-called anti-hate laws back around 1988, when Trish Katzen of the old Spotlight, the newspaper, sent me a packet, and she was describing how the ADL in their 1989 Hofstra conference on verbal violence were proposing a model anti-hate law for America, which would basically criminalize right-wing organizations, Christian organizations, if they
uh-huh.
showed a video critical of homosexuality. They would have the potential to imprison those leaders and actually anybody who continue to remain a member of those organizations. Now, in 1990, the ADL was successful in passing its Hate Crime Statistic Act, mm-hmm. and that put the ADL basically in the driver's seat
right.
of all federal definitions of hate crimes, education, and so on, not only in the FBI and the U.S. Justice Department, but clear down to the local precinct level of every police department in America. And so today, ADL has an iron control over all education for police, and we've been concerned, of course, recently with the expanding powers of the federal government to actually perhaps use troops against the American people someday to put down a rebellion. And mm-hmm. and but what is very real is that for since at least 1980, the ADL has been training our police into their own private Gestapo, brainwashing them, conditioning through training seminars and so on, to regard right-wingers and so on as mm-hmm. potential terrorists, fanatics, right-wing extremists, and haters.
How is it that that came about? How did this relationship get cultivated? Was
well,
it through law?
As I say, ADL, I have the actual documentation of hearings in Congress, which took place in 1988 and 89, in which the ADL testified before committee in Congress that they wanted the powers to make the definitions for the government as a non-government organization. They wanted to be consulted and deferred to and actually be given a mandate to take over for the federal government all hate crimes training and definitions and especially statistics gathering so that they could have twisted definitions of hate and hate crime, and they could trump up so-called hate crimes incidents in America so they could create the illusion of an epidemic of hate in America, mm-hmm. which necessitated a national hate crimes bureaucracy.
Yes. Now, so in other words, through their lackeys in Congress, then they managed to garner this position, this sacred position.
Yes, they certainly do. Now, once having established that, all during the 90s, they went around very, very insistently, and they persuaded at least 46 state legislatures in the Union mm-hmm. to adopt some version mm-hmm. of their model anti-hate law, which, of course, was a product of this awful Hofstra conference where they very, very clearly pointed out that they were going after the right wing, after Christians, and with the intention of actually jailing them and making them into criminals. And this model anti-hate law, in one way or another, now is a part of the legal fabric of no less than about 46 states in the Union. It was used, in fact, 2 years ago when Lynn Abraham, the ADL's mm-hmm. National Executive Board member and the District Attorney of Philadelphia, made use of ADL's Pennsylvania hate law in order to arrest 11 Christians for the so-called hate crime of witnessing to homosexuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a fact that we've brought out on the program many times. Now, what you say, unfortunately, is very frightening about the relationship that ADL has developed with police. Now, when you say police, you mean not only all local police across the nation, potentially, but the state police as well of each
Absolutely.
State.
Yeah, I have talked to the Hate Crimes Division of the Oregon State Police, and they are absolutely indoctrinated. Just like I've had extended conversations with the Vancouver the Police Hate Crimes Unit. I've actually talked to the head police authority in Ottawa, and they all think alike. They all consider. You see, one of the things that the ADL insisted upon in their testimony before Congress in 1988 was that a hate crime didn't need to be tried in a court of law before the police could consider it a hate crime and report it to the FBI as a hate crime. All you needed there was evidence that some member of a federally protected group, specifically homosexuals, could claim that they were subject to verbal abuse and verbal intimidation, perhaps by a fundamentalist Christian who threatened them with a gay bashing or something like that. And all it takes is for the police to come out to the apartment house or wherever this dispute is going on And if the homosexuals can present a passionate enough, emotional, and tear-filled presentation to the police, then the police have the right to make their own, basically their own jury decision right there on the scene and pronounce that a hate crime. Hmm. And so it doesn't even need to go through the law. So when we go to the FBI's annual uniform crime report and we find there are 7,500 hate crimes in America in the last year, then what we have to do is take that with a grain of salt, because probably way less than 5% of these have been adjudicated in a court of law. They are police opinions on the street. And so they are opinions about fisticuffs and name-calling and minor assaults and verbal abuse and things like that, but they are not proven in a court of law to have been either hate motivated or a violent in nature.
Now, what you say also about the relationship cultivated with law enforcement totally in America is evidenced by the fact that we can even read in our own local newspapers how attorneys general in the various states, including my own attorney general, has been to Israel to study on these junkets paid for by these Jewish groups that now claim that they're going to be short shrifted, you know, in Congress by their own puppets like Nancy Pelosi and so forth with new ethics legislation. I'm not holding my breath. But in any event, they visit Israel and then study how to deal with terrorism.
Yeah,
and I say,
right.
Well, I mean, that's like going into a whorehouse and becoming part of the brothel in order to find out what they do and what it's like, you know.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely shocking that
yes,
in our country today we experience this phenomenon.
Well, the Chief of Police Association in the United States has actually held its annual conference in Israel. And what the ADL does is it looks out for particularly compliant, cooperative chiefs of police who will be their lackeys, as you say, and then they fly them off, they wine and dine them in Israel and let them talk to the prime minister and all that. And it's all very heady, and they give them education on riot training and terrorist prevention.
And, of course, they have to visit the Holocaust Museum, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right. But really, these were the two big stages in preparing America for a hate crimes bureaucracy. Number one, passage of the Hate Crime Statistic Act in 1990, then persuasion of most of the states in the United States to adopt basically a hate crime sleeper law.
That's a law that has teeth, but it can be
used in lieu of a federal bill. If they can't get their big federal bill, which is the big apple at the top of the tree, then they can fall back on these local state hate laws. Now, the big federal hate law is what they have always wanted, because that will unite the federal government, federal law enforcement with local law enforcement, breaking down all barriers between federal invasion into states' rights in law enforcement. Now, what this amounts to is they want to create a police state. A police state is where there are no checks and balances, no barriers between the federal government coming down to the local level to enforce the law. And that's what they're dreaming of, the total prestige and power of a federal hate crimes bureaucracy, which ultimately will link together with the ADL, the neighbor of hate crimes bureaucracies in Canada, Australia, all over Europe, and so on. And the ultimate dream, of course, is international enforcement from Jerusalem.
Yes. That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, David Ben-Gurion, back I think it was in the 70s in Look magazine, he prophesied that someday there would be an international justice tribunal in Jerusalem which would adjudicate all these issues.
That's very interesting, very interesting, from a biblical perspective.
Yes, that ties in, of course, with the specter of this huge Babylon the Great, which I believe is a Jewish world government centering in Jerusalem.
Yes, I agree with you on that. Yes, totally. All right, and we're going to invite callers to jump on the lines, and we'll take your calls. For Ted Pike, we have a lot of people who, like I say, who never are able to hear RBN, maybe in the morning, the afternoon, late afternoon, but they are able to listen at night. And for those who are listening first time, never heard of this before, this is going to be an eye-opener for you and a very shocking, shocking episode. So stay tuned. jump on the lines if you have a question or a comment on the subject that we're dealing with. We don't want to get into theological debates or questions, but we want to stick with the subject that we're dealing with, and that is the chance, once again, the very good chance, the Democrat-controlled Congress will deal with this issue, the hate crimes bill. I'm Rick Adams. Our guest, Ted Pike. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned. Here we are. Okay, now I can hear better. All right. Well, the lines look like they're almost jammed right now, so I think there's one available line. If you'd like to get through with our guest, Ted Pike, 800-313-9443. Ted, let's get right to the phones, and we'll intersperse some more history and more of what's going on, okay? Let's take some calls right now. Mark in Texas is first off. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Ted and Rick, there was a situation in the Dallas, Texas area where there was a swastika painted on a church off of I-30 on the east side of Dallas. Mm-hmm. The pastor's name was Zan Holmes. And that the swastika was painted right before the legislature in the state in Austin was supposed to vote up or down with the hate crimes legislation. Well, come to find out, they were all standing down there on Tuesday. This is, you know, like 3 days after the swastika was found, and it was all over the news media. Well, they were down there hugging and crying and, you know, hugging each other because they passed this hate crime. Well, come to find out, the paint that was used from a remodeling part of the church. They were remodeling the church. And the FBI was brought in. The FBI said, "We will figure this out." Nobody's heard anything after that. Nothing. And that's the type of scenario we're dealing with.
Okay, yeah. So you're suggesting here was not legit, huh?
Well, I would probably lean in that direction, yes.
Well, there have been a number of documented cases where, I don't know if you've heard of the hoaxer reports, Ted.
Yes, I have.
But,
Laird Wilcox.
Right, where they have proven with the law enforcement agency showing in a number of cases the act was actually planned and executed by that particular individual who was black or who was Jewish or who was gay or what have you. And indeed, they were, I hope, at least from what I remember, they were prosecuted as perpetrating a hoax. And it's a fraud. I mean, it's a total fraud. But that can happen, yes.
If anybody has a chance, check on it from Zan Holmes, the church in Dallas with the hate crime legislation, and I guarantee you there's something fishy going on.
Well, that certainly provides an impetus to pass more laws, doesn't it? Huh?
Talk to you later.
All right, Mark. Thank you very much.
I should mention, Mark, that I think I said at the beginning of this program, these statistics are formulated. The definitions of a hate crime and the level of so-called hate crimes in America are carefully swelled and exaggerated by the ADL because they want to give the illusion of an epidemic of hate in America. But every year there's about 13 million crimes in America, and then there's about roughly 7,500 so-called hate crimes. And and yet, even that 7,500 hate crimes is only about 1/15 of 1% of actual crimes in America, and yet through this kind of dramatization in the newspaper of a painting of a swastika or some kind of a cross on somebody's lawns or something, at the last minute they can whip up public sympathy and hysteria getting their hate bills to go through the state legislature.
Well, it's sort of like a paradox here with them because on the one hand they're, as you point out, magnifying and seeking to hype up an issue such as so-called hate in America today, and yet when confronted with so-called Holocaust reductionists who say that those figures have been highly exaggerated, they go ballistic.
Yeah.
So there's a contradiction there from the beginning, you know. Incredible but true. And I'm going to hold the next call until after the break so we don't have to interrupt you for the break. But these, as I said earlier, Ted, the Democratic Congress now, we're looking at the leadership of it. And, you know, I understand that the Republicans have sold America down the river, and the Democrats have both. Both parties are largely sellouts. But under the Republican administration, I know it was a little bit easier, that is the Congress, to fend off some of this legislation because some of them were dead set against it. And, of course, the Ted Kennedys and the Democrats were pushing it heavily. So I'm going to ask you when we come back if maybe you can tell us at this point in time just how bleak, if you will, how dark the situation looks.
Well, I'll also tell the folks what we can do, because we have had tremendous successes, and I believe if we follow the same strategy, we can win again.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Doug and Dave and Rita and Larry and all of you on the line, 1-800-313-9443 is the number. We're talking about the Orwellian police state here tonight and proposed hate speech, hate crimes legislation, and, of course, it's already been implemented in Europe, Australia, and in Canada, just to the north of these United States. Don't think it won't happen here if you don't start opposing. We'll be back. Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. We shall return in just 3 minutes. Well, I suppose that song is music to your ears, Ted. Ted Pike. There you go. That's what the ADL is all about.
The Bible says a little child shall lead them.
Yes, and there you go. It's the truth, man. Many a truth come from the mouths of babes, huh? Well, before we go back to the phone, I'd like to have you comment on what we were talking about, the new Congress, briefly now, and we'll do it throughout the program. But how does it look, and what is the strategy, basically?
Well, it has looked bleak before, but I think this is the bleakest. But actually, as I mentioned earlier, during the last 2 years, we have resoundingly defeated the hate bill three different times. And, of mm-hmm. course, you have played a pivotal role in putting me on and alerting many thousands of the fighters, go-getters in this country to make multiple calls to Congress. You know, the standard message of political lobbyists is you can't get people to call more than, you know, a handful, three or four of their elected mm-hmm. members of
yes.
Congress. But
yeah.
what I'm finding is that in this far-right talk radio, we have a tremendous pool of people who are desperate to do something. When they've made their three or four calls to Congress, they say, well, what more can I do? Now, in the course of battling the hate bill, I experimented. I said, people come to truthtellers.org and we'll have the 18 members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and thousands of people came to Truth Tellers and responded by calling all those. Then I upped the ante in one big hate bill fight last October. I said, well, let's have you call all 100 members of the Senate, and they did that as well. And it's this mass calling, not just constituents to your state members in Congress, but just calling across the board, not emailing because they can cancel that, and not writing because all non-constituent mail is burned. But we're talking about people with real human emotions calling to other flesh and blood bodies there, and these senators and members of Congress offices, and letting them know in no uncertain terms that we will not allow a hate bill to pass and take away free speech. Now, what I'm proposing this year is that, again, people come to truthtellers.org, and there I have the entire listing of all the members of the new Congress. And I have a toll-free number. In fact, there are several toll-free numbers there which mm-hmm. are working. And I want people to do something they've never done before, and that is to make a pact with themselves that they'll make one call a day, once every day of the five-day work week, for a total of 7 weeks, in which they will call Congress, and then they will leapfrog from one member of Congress to the other. It takes about 1 minute to deliver a powerful message. And in only 15 minutes, before work in the morning or during your lunch break, in that seven-week period spanning through January, you will have saturated the entire Congress of the United States with a powerful message. Could I just give those quickly
of
those
toll
free numbers?
Of course, sure.
Yeah, this is really the secret of success. This has we're breaking the mold here on political activism and showing that the people can impact our system of government still, even in these dark times. So there's the first toll free number is 877-851-6437. Again, that toll free number to all members of the Congress is 877-851-6437. And then the other toll free number, in case this one is retired, is 866-340-9281. Again, 866-340-9281. Now, when you come to Truth Tellers and you find the first member, let's say, of the Senate, and you get their office, give them this simple message. Please don't vote for any hate bill. Hate laws have taken away free speech in Canada and most European countries. Again, this simple two-liner. Please don't vote for any hate bill. They'll know what you're talking about. Hate laws have taken away free speech in Canada and most European countries. Now, once you've made that statement, don't hang up. Just say, please send me on to Senator so-and-so, and then you can leapfrog in 15 minutes and do that once a day. Now the Congress is back in session now, and they will be receiving your calls tomorrow, but only through Friday. Then they go back for rest and recuperation.
Yeah, I think we need the rest and recuperation.
Yeah, through the Christmas holidays. But Congress does reconvene on January 3rd,
mm-hmm.
And if the people can begin to batter Congress again with these messages throughout the entire month of January and then through a full week of February, pretty much, you'll have reached every member of Congress. Now, on January 3rd, the new 65 or so new members, newly elected members mm-hmm. of Congress, can be reached, and obviously they can't be reached right now.
Now, also, it's important to note that these bills, of course, are not numbered yet in the
no.
new Congress, and they won't be until such a time, and hopefully they'll never reach that point, but I'm sure they'll be introduced, obviously,
yes,
and then we'll have the numbers, right?
That's right. It's always a different number. It's usually called the Hate Crimes Prevention Act or the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act.
Right.
You see, my strategy here is not to wait till ADL is able to get this legislation into the legislative pipeline, which is way, way past the time we should be activated.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do, let me just explain something about ADL. They're not passing this bill because the American people are screaming and saying we want hate crimes laws. They're doing this in the dark and back corridors of the House and Senate office buildings on their own initiative, not caring a whit what the American people think about it. And you see, they get away with this because they are not identified publicly as the culprits behind this legislation. And what I want to do is to shine so much scrutiny on ADL as an adjunct of a huge religious organization, the Neighbor International, that
mm-hmm.
it will cause tremendous embarrassment in the Jewish community and consternation even among the ADL. And they may say, hey, maybe we better not push this. We may go too far at this time. Maybe we better back off lest we really create a tidal wave of opposition to what we're doing.
Yeah, and of course, it's interesting to note, as we've said before, this issue has received virtually no mention
no.
in any of the controlled national media, and yet they're the first ones to jump on the issues having to do with any legislation or proposal affecting press censorship, anything to do with the media.
That's right. But from ADL's own statements over the years, they have made it clear that hate bill passage, federal hate bill passage, is the number one legislative goal of ADL,
mm-hmm.
because what that does is it completely changes our whole government.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Canada, we do have the old Anglo-Saxon legal system, which deals with physical crimes, but it creates a dual justice system, a new hate crimes tribunal system for the United States eventually, as this law widens out to protect not just people from physical hate crimes, but also protect them emotionally from verbal speech crimes or verbal violence, you see.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
it headed in. We know where the hate laws came from in Canada. They came from ADL B'nai B'rith.
Mm-hmm.
They're also coming from the main thrust now. The ADL is using the homosexuals as cannon fodder and lackeys,
mm-hmm.
but the main impetus comes from B'nai B'rith International.
Now, that's a good point to make. Okay, 800-313-9443 is our number. Ted Pike is our guest, truthtellers.org, and Doug in Texas is next. Hello, Doug.
Yeah, hi, Rick.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just a dumb, goyim, heterosexual white guy. I apologize for that.
No apology necessary.
And won't that protect me from Seinfeld and, you know, the Jews that control all the media in the United States? They will have to back off me. They won't be able to belittle a dumb, goyim, heterosexual white guy anymore, right?
Well, actually, Doug, if we look at the history of hate crimes enforcement in Canada since 1971, I don't know a single instance in which any kind of Jew or black or Indian or Chicano has ever been prosecuted for bashing on a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, whatever you might be.
Heterosexual.
Yeah.
There was the instance last year, you remember, it was reported in the Forward, that there was an Indian representative in Canada who had said something that was considered offensive to, I believe it was Jews, and he was being in some way harassed by the ADL, and I think the government fined him. If I'm not mistaken,
uh-huh.
he faced a fine, and that was something you might want to look up to.
Okay, yeah, he was a chief, wasn't he?
Yes, I believe
yeah.
so.
Right, well, there are these minor exceptions, perhaps, but the fact is, Doug, that the whole legal system of all Western industrialized nations is so biased in favor of hate crimes, against the Christianity and white civilization, that we can be sure that even though these hate crimes laws may on the books ostensibly protect all religions, the fact is that they are very selective. They have a selective morality. As far as the liberals are concerned, it's payback time. Christians, they believe, have terribly persecuted Jews, blacks, and so on, women, homosexuals throughout the millennia, and it's time basically to put down Christian civilization and deny us the same kinds of legal privileges.
I am shocked and amazed to hear that. I didn't know that. Rick knows I didn't know that.
I understand. Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Doug, for your question.
Nice.
Good point.
Rick.
Thank you. All right. Dave in Wyoming is next. Hello, Dave.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, you're on with Ted Pike.
Yeah, Ted, I appreciate I've seen your videos, and they're really good, and appreciate what you and Rick are both doing.
Thank you, Dave.
I got a question. I think Rick stole my thunder there asking what was going to take place with this new Congress. And it seems like they're really leaning in that direction. But didn't Stalin or Lenin get a law passed against, like a hate law passed after they took power?
Well, yes, in 1918, it was a capital crime, a subject to death, to publicly identify the Jewish nature, the Jewish identity of the thousands of commissars who were ruling Russia at that time. You see, at that time and at the present time, ADL, B'nai B'rith, who are behind both the Bolshevik Revolution, B'nai B'rith was, or the various revolutions that have come since then, they all are very, very sensitive to public exposure. And that's why a fundamental part of my radio broadcasting is always to tell people exactly where these laws have come from, to shine the spotlights on these rats. And And I believe like a flashlight on rats in a garbage dump, they're going to jump for cover as long as we keep putting that kind of scrutiny upon them.
Then that was Lenin that got that passed then, right?
Yes, I believe it was.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Dave, for the call. I appreciate it very much. 800-313-9443. Rita in Texas now is next. Hello, Rita.
Hello. How are you doing, Rick?
Okay, fine. Thank you.
I'm listening to Mr. Pike, and Mr. Pike, I do appreciate the information that you've been giving. I've done some other extensive reading. I was listening to Coast to Coast, and there was this, I got fascinated because there was this guy named, the Diamond Brothers. There's a site that is called mostholyfamilymonastery.com on the Internet. And they have a film like on rock and roll and Freemasonry. And what I found very interesting about the film, and it can be watched online, is that there is no two-party in Congress. It's one party, and it's the Freemasonic Party that runs Congress. And there's another booklet that I just came in possession of. It's one that has been there's been an attempt to destroy its public its distribution. It's called Grand Orient Freemasonry Unmasked: As a Secret Power Behind Communism. It's been written by Monsignor George E. Dillon, Doctor of Divinity, I guess is what it stands for. And my question, Mr. Pike, you sound very, very well-read, intelligent, and very well-versed, but I don't hear you speaking about the correlation that the Jews, who have been behind Freemasonry, use Freemasonry as the instrument to install this atheistic form of existence. I mean, this the Alpha Vendetta, you know, has been exposed in Europe, and the modus operandi that the Freemasons used in Europe, especially with the French Revolution, is still in operation. It's in our country right now. It's the Freemasons.
Rita, let him respond. Let him respond. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Rita, Freemasonry is one of the major tentacles of this tremendous octopus.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, the reason I go after ADL, B'nai B'rith, the World Jewish Congress, and so on, is because they really are the eye of the great Kabbalistic Masonic conspiracy throughout the centuries.
Mm-hmm.
We go even further back, we go to the Jewish Kabbalah, which is so full of basically revolutionary world ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
They regard the Goyim as beasts, as animals, and demons, and so on.
Right.
And, of course, that always goes back to the Pharisees themselves, whom my Lord Jesus Christ so bitterly denounced, you see. Now, Masonry has been a tremendous tool to bring in the hordes of the Gentiles, especially intellectuals, the elites, and leaders of industry and commerce, and so on, bring them in to participate in helping bring about a one-world, maybe basically a one-world Zionist Pharisaic government, but they are largely useful idiots. They are brought in there like George Bush and Skull and Bones. All these are various manifestations of Kabbalistic Masonry, and they're all custom-tailored to bring in all different strata of the Goyim society with a lot of hocus-pocus and also with great economic advantages. Once you become a Mason and get into the Masonic fraternity, there are tremendous economic opportunities available to you.
All right. Rita, thank you. I hope that helps answer your question. Good question, by the way. Thank you. We'll be right back with Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, and we'll continue our discussion on the hate bill. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned for more.
On the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All righty, we are back with Ted Pike as talking about the issue once again of the hate legislation that he hopes to ward off before it is, shall we say, blooming in Congress. Nip it in the bud, so to speak. And Ted, you know, the point maybe I think you were trying to make with Rita was that, yes, all of these other, you know, organizations, fraternal and so forth, and the Masons and various and sundry other front groups are indeed part of the same head. But if you're going to kill the beast, you got to go after the head, not the tail. Is that essentially what you're saying?
That's right. We have to be careful from chopping tentacles, you know. Secondary issues can consume a lot of time,
right,
a lot of idealism, but
yes,
they have a tendency to regrow in different forms.
Yes, very true.
I should also mention, Rick, that I have a very powerful, a simple but powerful brochure which is now available at truthtellers.org. I'd love to have people come there, print that out now, and take that to your local copy shop and make hundreds of copies. Let's saturate Congress, state legislatures, the church leadership, and conservative groups and talk show hosts. Saturate them with this new powerful brochure at truthtellers.org.
Well, they can just go right to the site. Now, for those that don't have a computer, I know there are still many that listen to us on shortwave and satellite and might not have a computer. Can they call for this brochure? Can it be mailed to them?
They can call me at 503-631-3808. That's 503-631-3808. And I will send them a sample copy, and they can get to work.
Excellent. Okay, let's go to Larry in Florida now. Hello, Larry. You're on the program.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, Ted just answered the question I was going to ask him, was whether he had some downloadable flyer on his website that I could download and make copies of and distribute on my own, and I just got my answer.
Okay, wonderful. Okay.
Did you have any other questions? Go ahead.
Yes, my my trick, as you might know, Rick, is I go to solargeneral.com. S-O-L-A-R, general.com.
Uh-huh.
And they have 60 different flyers you can download and print. Anti-ADL, anti-Zionist, anti-illegal immigration, all kinds for every occasion. And all week long I download those things till I have hundreds of them. Then I come out here in my nice Florida sunny weather and go around to various sporting events and country western concerts and gun shows and just anything that's happening, a boat ramp while everybody's out on the water. When they get back under their windshield wipers, they'll find these things.
Wonderful.
And so, you know, that's the way I do what I do, you know, because there's lots of people that don't even know what shortwave radio is out there that needs to hear this stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, this whole business, why the whole world isn't in an uproar over this Ernst Zundel matter, I do not know, because this is that's the most outrageous thing I think I can recall that has happened in a very long time.
Well, I'm going to bring that up in the second hour with Ted, because, there are people like Professor Irving, who now sits in a jail in Austria, I believe. People like that who are not considered to be rednecks or some KKK member somewhere spouting off. These are people who have done research, who have been scholars in their own right, and when they open their mouths or write with their pen, all of a sudden they're facing a jail term.
Yeah.
I mean, this is outrageous.
You know, just this morning in our local paper.
Hang on. We'll be back in just a minute. Ted Pike is with us. Larry, you'll be right back. Bob in Missouri and others. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, will continue in just 60 seconds.